Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, Going Gray with author Ann Kramer. Ann Kramer is setting the record for how an author's first book is received. She's been on basically every television show you can think of, been written about in every newspaper or magazine, and is taking the world by storm. Why? Because her book, Going Gray, is about one of the dark secrets of modern America. Continuing now my conversation with Ann Kramer and her book, Going Gray. Given that you were surprised in both the professional context and in the sexual context, the attractiveness context, that your preconceptions about going gray were wrong and that, in fact, this was an asset, not a problem, did you have to get out security because Clairol was going to take out a hit team?
You know,
you threaten, if everybody got this message, you know, you're a big threat, Anne.
Well, what I hoped to do by writing the book, for me it was a really interesting process of self-discovery. I mean, at the very beginning I had the same anxieties and fears that a lot of the women I talked with about, you know, am I going to look old? Will anybody ever, you know, pay attention to me again? And it sort of forces you to look with clear eyes at where you are in your specific stage of life. From that perspective, what I hope the book can kind of do for people is at least open a conversation about thinking that there might be an option for yourself out there in the marketplace. I don't think people are going to do this overnight. I mean, in the piece I wrote for Time, when I interviewed another 100 women, for 75% really were concerned that if they had gray hair, they would not get promotions or they might not get the jobs that they were looking for. So I think that pressure will still be out there and real. I think, you know, the fact that we have 16 female senators ranging in age from 46 to 74 and not a single one of them has gray hair shows just how profound the pressure to dye one's hair really is. I mean, in the segment of our workforce where maturity and experience and responsibility and all the kinds of things that gray hair should connote, you think would be an asset, yet they don't feel they can, with their level of accomplishment, feel that they can do that, I think is an issue.
Yeah, and of course, if a male senator were to dye his hair, he would have probably the opposite reaction, which is that he's a fake.
Yeah, I mean, Mitt Romney's had to publicly say, I don't dye my hair. He's turned it into kind of a, you know, an issue. And I mean, let's look at John Edwards hair. It's a different sort of a conversation. But yeah, no, it's a huge deal. I mean, you know, there's a commentator in England named Anna Ford who was a top, she was sort of the Katie Couric equivalent, and she recently let her hair go gray, as did Camilla Parker Bowles, and it's turned into a gigantic conversation in England as well over, you know, should women do this or what's it mean? And, you know, I feel like if Katie Couric let her hair go to what I assume is her natural color, 50% of all people will have 50% of their hair gray by the time they're 50, is the rough rule of thumb. And, you know, she's not that much younger than I. I mean, if she went out with gray hair, think of the message that would communicate to the public.
Right.
On so many levels. I think it'd be fabulous.
Let's talk about other countries and culture. How in the West, in countries where women have the economic possibility of dyeing their hair, is it treated the same around the world, or are other cultures different?
No, it's not. I mean, we just were in England over our summer holiday. The ratio of women who dye their hair there is almost the exact opposite to here. It struck me as like 70% of women there do not dye their hair. And I interviewed Mireille Guignot, who's the woman who wrote French Women Don't Get Fat. And she had a very similar take to that, which is that in French culture, there's a much higher degree of comfort. She even had a specific phrase that they use about being comfortable in your skin as you sort of get older. Yes, one must look chic in the French sense, but that there's a bigger range of what that can be, and it doesn't necessarily mean you have to dye your hair and use Botox and have a facelift to still be an attractive woman. The book has been sold now in Italy and Brazil and Portugal and lots of countries where I frankly didn't think it would happen. I mean, in Brazil, which is now sort of the plastic surgery mecca, the book's been out for 13 weeks and is doing terrifically. So, you know, go figure.
Now, how did your family react to all this? And, of course, I assume that you worried about, you know, the intimacy of your relationship with your husband and how your two daughters would react. What happened there?
I've been with my husband for 30 years, so he's seen every single shade of hair color I've had over those years. So I think to him, on some level, my gray was just one more in the string of weird Anne hair colors. And I did worry a little bit about it, though, because his mother had gray hair and both of his sisters have gray hair, and I sort of thought that might not be the look I was going for with my husband. But in fact, he really likes it. And, you know, I discovered with my kids, my youngest daughter was 13 when I made the decision to do it. And her first response is, oh, no, Mom, don't do that. I don't want an old mommy at school. Because not a single one of her friends' mothers had gray hair. But now she's, you know, acclimated to it as well, and I think kind of gets off on the fact that Mom now has a distinctive look among her friends.
Well, let alone that Mom's on Martha Stewart and the Today Show, et cetera, all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, it is funny being interviewed by women, all of whom have dyed hair, so... you know, everybody has a dog in the fight on some level, and,
yeah.
You know, I'm happy to have that. I just think we need to have a conversation around why it has become a requirement
in
aging.
In some of those interviews, have women gotten kind of antagonistic and threatened by your book?
No, I mean, a lot of women, I think, feel a little bit threatened by the conversation, and, you know, this is not a proscriptive conversation, but I think they feel threatened because I think we're all somewhat anxious about getting older. Our life expectancy in 1900 was 47. Today it's 80. So we've never had to live with so many people getting old in front of our eyes. I don't think any of us knows what it means and how we want to kind of approach it gracefully. From my perspective, looking in the mirror and seeing my gray face and hair sort of shining back at me is a catalyst to action. It kind of galvanizes me. You know, I don't have that much time left on the planet. How am I going to spend my hours? And I would rather spend them with friends and walking around the street and discovering strange new things than trapped in a chair at a salon looking at the four walls in a kind of, narcissistic way.
And having your wallet depleted in the process.
Oh, dear Lord, yes. I could have paid for my kids' college education if I'd invested the money I spent. It's staggering.
How much money do you think you did spend over the 25-plus years?
Yeah, I calculated that on hair color alone, it was approximately $65,000. And, you know, I was not going to a high-end Madison Avenue, you know, $500 shot salon. It was a pretty reasonable downtown salon.
Now, one of the other experiments you did was you took off the wedding rings and hit the bars.
Yeah, I did.
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, having not really been bar hopping since the Carter administration, it was an amusing experiment for me. What I discovered is that, again, like my Match.com experiment, it didn't seem to preclude my getting dates of any sort. So, you know, I went out and I had the pleasure of sitting down next to, I went out during the NCAA final, so, you know, there'd be lots of guys out at bars. And I went in one night and sat down next to a guy, and, you know, had I been interested in... Continuing the evening, I think I could have. And, you know, that was a gratifying thing, because I think a lot of women I interviewed, for instance, would say that after they had gotten divorced or widowed, that they had gotten tremendous pressure from their friends to say, oh, you've got to dye your hair, you're never going to get another date. And I just think it's not true. And that we've all convinced ourselves of this because it's what we've been doing so long, kind of reflexively.
One of my favorite moments in the book is when you came back from your expedition, you had a confession to your husband about removing the rings, and he had a great comeback. And you said to him, I took off the rings, and he said, that's okay, honey.
Oh, yeah, I had a couple of hookers over while you were gone. Yeah.
Your husband is one of the most annoyingly accomplished, you know, men of letters of the age,
uh-huh.
Founder of Spy Magazine, radio show, and so on and so on and so on, Kurt Anderson.
One of the things that I find in life is that it often requires a person to kind of do something similar, whether it's, you know, losing a parent or whatever it might be, to kind of empathize in a clear way. And the fact that he has published and knows what it's like has meant that he's been, you know, really supportive of all the different sort of aspects of it. And I feel like it's given me a greater insight now into, you know, the nature of what he's done since this is my first time doing it.
Ann Kramer, thank you so much for being on the program, and may your success continue. Congratulations.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it.